The Geek News Central Podcast for Tuesday, February 15th, 2005. Welcome to the podcast.
You're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you almost live from Honolulu, Hawaii. Ladies and gentlemen, please stand by. The geek from Geek News Central is about to come on the air. He's putting on the headset. He is pulling up the microphone. He has opened a can of Red Bull. He has strapped himself into the chair. His assistant is slapping him in the face. Get ready. And now, your host, Todd the Geek from Geek News Central.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. Hey, how is everybody? Been a wonderful, wonderful day for me, and it's late here. It's really late. You know, I do the recording the night before. Obviously, I do the recording on the night of the 14th and put the podcast out on the net in the early morning hours of Eastern Standard Time, because about the time I go to bed is about the time everyone's getting out of bed on the East Coast of the United States. So, but tonight, you know, today being Valentine's Day, I had to spend a little time with the wife, and she brought home a DVD, and it was the Ray Charles movie, which of course was 2.5 hours. So she didn't, we didn't get that started till about 7. So of course I have to sit there and be a good husband. And by 9:30, the video was over, and I'm like, oh my God, I got to get busy, get the podcast together, and I hadn't done any homework. I hadn't got anything set up or anything, so I'm getting started pretty late. It's going to be a late evening, and I'm going to have a short sleep. But, aloha. Aloha from Honolulu, and it's been an absolute beautiful day. Those of you that watched the Pro Bowl on Sunday, I literally can see Aloha Stadium from my house here. It's only... oh gosh, it's a stone's throw, you know. Well, not a, it's a pretty good throw, about a mile away. The crowd was just, you know, it's typically when UH plays there, they pull a pretty good crowd. But the Pro Bowl, everybody comes in, and it's a big major event, of course. And wow, the traffic was terrible coming out of the area that we live in. We didn't even we decided to, well, we were gonna go out and eat. And of course, we picked a bad time, about the time the game was letting out. And we came up to the main intersection, and they were directing traffic one way. And we decided, oh, we wanted to go the other, and they wouldn't let us. So we said, forget it. We just hung a Yui and came back to the house and ate. So, yeah, so much for our dinner last night. But we came back here to the house and hooked it up with something. All right. I've been getting some email from my regular weblog readers, and I know some of you only listen to the podcast and don't necessarily read the weblog, and you'll notice that I haven't been posting on there. If you look at who the posts have been by, it's been by one of our associate editors, Tim, and I want to thank him. I know he listened to the podcast on a regular basis. I want to thank him for hanging in there and taking care of the website in my absence. Part of that has to do with some things I've been working on and some future announcements that I'm going to be making. But the project that I've been dealing with has just had me... I've been completely devoted to taking care of what needs to be done with that. And unfortunately, the website has been neglected. I'm getting the two shows a week out, luckily, with the podcast here. But about another month, and we will. I'll be back full swing on the website. So I want to assure everybody that I'm going to be back. Also, when I was talking to Tim, he kind of dogged me out a little bit. He kind of bitch slapped me a little bit, saying, listen, you know, you've had your Mac Mini for a couple of weeks, and you're complaining about latency, and you know, a lot of people are making podcasts with Mini with Macs. And I took his comments to heart, and I've been playing with it a little more. So I'm going to be putting some information up on what I found. I don't know. It's a mixed bag still, so we'll see what happens. He did turn me on to, I believe Tim turned me on to a pretty cool site that I wasn't familiar with before. It's called opensource.cms.com. And basically, they have almost every CMS program running. You know, they've got Movable Type, Drupal, WordPress, and about 100 others that I wasn't familiar with, and you can actually go in there and test drive them. So I was absolutely shocked that this site was available, had never heard of it before. And for those of you that are shopping for a new weblog or are thinking about putting one up or maybe even considering doing a podcast, great resource, folks, great resource. So opensource.cms.com. And hopefully look at the show notes. I'll make sure they got the website address right, because I wrote that down real quick here. Another thing is I went ahead and bit the bullet, and today I was online with a major music outlet store, and through some suggestions of, now you guys need to go over, those of you that are doing podcasts, need to go over to podcastrigs.com, check out what is available for suggestions for podcasters on equipment. So I've made some major purchases today, and we have some new equipment coming, and we'll be talking about that as we get that inducted into our stack here. I am going to be, this box I've sitting here on the desk that I've had just a very short while, this Behringer VX2000, which I paid $109 for. It's brand new, folks. It's got less than probably 10 hours of use on it, and we don't leave it on when we're not using it. I'm going to make that available to the first podcaster that drops me an email, says I want the box, $75, maybe even, let's make it $70. Make it $70, you pay for shipping, and it's a great, great deal. And for those of you that are looking to improve your sound, this is a great little box to do. Now, I'm taking it a step, I'm going to the next level, basically. And the three pieces of equipment that I purchased today, the grand total on the American Express bill was $913. So there was a major investment done today by me. I've got a long-term commitment to this podcasting gig, so I want you guys to know I'm going to be here. And I'm trying to absorb as much information about audio recording that I can so that we can make the sound better and so that I can start bringing you my own sweepers. So I've been invested in Sony's Acid. So any of you out there that have royalty-free loops or sound bits or anything like that, I'm looking for... I purchased a couple of their, 1001... sound effects and that kind of stuff. I already purchased, and those CDs are on their way. But if any of you out there that are listening to me have any of these types of loops or soundtracks that you legally can redistribute to me, I would really, really appreciate getting some of that kind of stuff. I think some of it is probably licensed that you buy and you're restricted from. Just like sharing music, you can't do it. So I want you, if you're available, if the material you have is legally to be shared, hey, consider sharing it with me, and I'll pay for the shipping cost or whatever, including the the duplicating cost, whatever it takes. But I want to improve my library here and make some changes to it. Okay. Let's see here. I've got a whole bunch of news tonight. But first of all, I'm going to fire this up. Hopefully we've got the right cue. Here we go.
Attention. Attention. A special news bulletin is about to commence. You are being instructed to turn the volume up for this special announcement from Geek News Central.
I'd like to, wish everyone to check out... PDALive.com. This segment of the Geek News Central podcast is sponsored by PDALive.com, one of the premier PDA news and review and forum websites. I want to thank those guys for being an advertiser, and hopefully we've drove some traffic over to them. So again, go over and check out PDALive.com and show your appreciation to them and drive some traffic there.
And now, back to the Geek News Central podcast.
Okay, now that we've paid for the bandwidth, let's move on to the news. Now, this is always a tricky part. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 applications running on the taskbar. Plus, I got Firefox running in the background so that I can start doing the show notes once I get the show ready to be, basically sent up via FTP. Now, can I open FeedDaemon? It's been minimized without killing the recording process. Let's check this out. Oh, I got lucky. No skip. We're good to go. Okay, there's an interesting article that's talking about the IDN spoofing plan that the Mozilla group has. And this is, I think, a major announcement by them. Now, those of you familiar with what there is there's a security issue with Firefox or any of the Mozilla-type browsers where a international domain name can, if it's parsed right and basically can make you think you're on a website that you're not. So I want to read their spoofing plan. And for those of you that are familiar with what's going on here, and those that you aren't, please bear with me. But here's what they have to say. We've been working for a while now to come up with a plan for routing around the IDN security problem created by a failure of some registers to do the right thing when handing out domains. Today, it is possible to register IDN homographs, now I don't know what that is, folks, for popular commercial sites, which make it fairly trivial to spoof users into accepting the bogus domain as legitimate. I'm convinced, as many others, that this is a failure on the part of the register, but that being said, our users put at risk by this failure and will be taking some fairly drastic steps, including breaking IDN in Gecko browsers, that's all the Mozilla browsers, to help defend our users. If and when the registers get their acts together, we'll consider re-enabling the support and IDN can start moving forward again. That's major, folks. That's really, really major. They're going to do that. And they basically have to take out a feature of Firefox and those browsers that are running on, the core Mozilla engine. So they're looking out for us. I'm glad to see that they're going to do it. The international users are sucking, though. Those that are using basically what they can do instead of typing www.company.jp for Japan, they can actually type in a katakana address or hiragana address, and it will the DNS will be able to, the registers have made it so that they can display the address in, I believe, in the country's own dialect, or maybe that's not the right term. But they're going to break it, so some international users are going to be out of luck. Lots of articles still happening in the news about podcasting, and there's an article in Tidbits that talks about podcasting, the People's Radio. So a real good article, goes into some of the history. Now, I had to laugh because today as I was driving home, I was listening to, it was Web Talk Radio. And these guys, man, they were like slamming Dave and Adam, Dave Weiner and Adam Curry, because all these, I think it was a little bit of jealousy, because they were basically saying, well, we've been streaming audio and making audio downloads available for two or three, for a long time. We've been doing this since the 80s, and Audible was is doing this. They're not doing nothing new, and hello, these guys need to realize something new is happening. Before, I agree, people were streaming. People could download MP3s and play them on their, on their computers, or upload them into their media devices. Sure, we could do that manually. There's even some services that had some little proprietary things to put music onto media players and media devices. Before this, but they were proprietary solutions that were not open source, that were not, I'm not paying Audible to get podcasts. I don't have to pay Audible to put my podcast on their service. This is being hosted by me. So the major difference is the podcasting community and the developers bridged the gap and allowed the users to be able to load basically an RSS aggregator or a podcast aggregator onto their desktop. through the enclosure support within RSS. Then they download the podcast that we put up online for you, and you can get them dumped into your media player. I realize a lot of people are listening to the podcast on their computer still. I know some of you are listening to it in various different ways. I've heard some very unique things on how people listen to podcasts. So, you know, it's not that. It's just we've empowered them with walkaway content. You know, and they're complaining about the word podcasting not being right. You know, quit whining. It's set. It's done. You know, it's not going to change anytime soon. And I don't care if you've been doing this for 6 years. I never have heard of your show prior to today. Why? Why did I hear about your show? I heard about your show, one, because of podcasting. You ended up in a directory that I could find you in. And it was easy for me to do it. I went to bed last night. I got up this morning. I pulled my media device out of, unhooked it from the computer. I walked to my car, got in this morning, plugged in my little FM transmitter to it, turned it on, and I'm driving to work. I'm listening to your show. What if I took the time to have done that before? No. So there is a change. So there are some naysayers out there, and those of it you are, get over it. Life goes on. It's time to, you know, belly up to the bar. We're here to stay. We're making inroads. You know, I'm not saying this audio thing is all new. We all know that. You know, it doesn't take a genius to talk into a microphone and make a content. You know, obviously, I am not a genius. I am just a regular geek who has a passion for this medium right now. Just like I have a passion for my weblog. Just like I have a passion for my BBS. Hey, I'm a geek, you know. All right, enough ranting. I'm sorry, folks. But, you know, I just when I hear people whining about the podcasters are raining on our parade, tough, really tough. I did find a interesting website. It's linked by Daypop. And this guy has got like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I can see at least 7 Macs in and around his desk. 2 huge monitors, he's got 2 or 3 cameras, a laptop. This guy's ate up. He's got to be a dealer or something because no one has this many computers. If they do, if somebody has this many computers on their desktop, they need to go see a shrink. Something's not right. I'm serious. You guys see this link, check it out, and just tell me, what's up with this guy, you know? I think what it is he probably scored these and none of them are hooked up. Maybe 1 or 2 of them are, but I just don't see it. It's funny. It really is funny. Okay, there's a trend going on. They're talking to Technoretti, not necessarily Technoretti. Who's doing this? Neville Hobson's talking about business blogs are taking up podcasting and how there's been a recent surge and, you know, a big growth, and it goes to show you. I think the iPodder directory went over 3,000 podcasters this week. I know that Podcast Alley, everyone make sure you go out there and visit Podcast Alley, and of course vote for our website, and vote for our podcast in the top 50 list. And I want to thank everyone that last week I think we had 50 or 60 of you vote for us. We appreciate that. And that's drove us up. Now, I know that Chris over at Podcast Alley is getting ready to make some changes. So probably what's going to be happening, he's going to be wiping the slate clean, and he's going to be coming up with some new categories and making it more equitable on who's going to be in the top 10, top 20, et cetera, et cetera. And it's good, you know. It's the system he has over there has worked initially, and he understands that there are some weaknesses, and he's going to be making some changes. But hey, there's a lot of great content. He's been getting a lot of good publicity. Go over to podcastalley.com. Check out his website. Get involved in the forums. Provide some feedback. And, hey, just play, man. That's what it's all about. But anyway, this article talks about business take-up of podcasting and how people are kind of amazed that GM has got one. Hey, it's only natural. You know, if you want to get your information out to the business world, you can get your voice heard in a different way. You know, a lot of these guys did simulcast before. So it's not surprising that they have repackaged it and basically allowed it to be downloaded as a regular podcast. All right, Microsoft plots to fix Internet Explorer. Microsoft recently had a secret webcast with some of its closest partners to discuss ways in which the company might improve its Internet Explorer browser and customer confidence in the platform. You know, sorry, Microsoft. You guys are, you're like 2 years, maybe 3 years behind. Firefox is here to stay. They're kicking your butt, gaining market share. I don't think they can catch up. I really don't. People are losing confidence in the product. You know, they've done some amazing things before and turned a product around. But, you know, eWeek is giving Firefox a thumbs up, saying it's living up to its hype. So, obviously, Microsoft is definitely worried about its flagship product and is looks like going to make some change. Okay, there's an open letter to Bill Gates that says to release Windows Media Player for Linux. And I have to agree. I don't use Linux actively, but I have gone out and have been doing a lot of, I've been playing around with Linux recently. And yeah, I think there are some, I'm sure some of these Linux guys are going to call me out on this. So if you want to, send me an email or call the voicemail line and vent on me. But there is some very, you know, some of the utilities are not that great for listening to audio or even recording audio on Linux. There are some, thankfully, the Mac OS X guys have got some cross-compatible programs. So, they, you know, they've been riding that gravy train and getting some of the benefits from that development. So, that you know, it's been cross-platform capable, which is good through some minor changes and driver changes. But yeah, I think they need it. I think it'd be a good idea. And I don't think Microsoft will ever do it just because they got this big anti-open source mentality right now. You know, you look at Microsoft programmers and they can't even, as an employee of Microsoft, they have to sign an agreement saying that they cannot, that they will not participate in any open source programming project. They are not allowed to. And I'll be honest with you, what I do on my off time is my business. I don't think my employer should dictate what I can and can't do. But that's something they put upon their employees. And it's they have to go to legal. I got to ask for permission. And I don't know how many actually go through the trouble of doing it. I don't know if they consider it disloyal or what. But all of us have heard about crazy stories about people having interesting tech stories. And there's a website out now. It's called www.techtales.com. And it's basically about the funniest tech stories on the internet. And this is hilarious. Some of the stuff that people come up with and call and ask for tech support on just amazes me. Now, it reminds me what happened here last week when, you know, I told you guys that I have dumped Zone Alarm specifically because of bad tech support. And they sent me, I sent them a very detailed, geeky explanation of what was going on. And the reply I got to that tech support email made it very obvious to me that they must have a third grader working for their company for customer support, for tech support. It cinched the deal. I'm done with Zone Alarm. I'm double done. And, you know, I was giving them the benefit of the doubt. I've got some more machines here that need to be moved. And that reply cinched it. So they're gone. The Zone Alarm is off my computer network here at the house. And I've been a proponent of Zone Alarm for years. And I've got Zone Alarm licenses on my mom's computer, my sister's, a lot of my family members, you know, went in there and working on their systems. And I said, give me your credit card. You're going to get Zone Alarm. You're going to get Spy Sweeper. And you're going to get an antivirus program. Those are the three I put on. Now it's going to be somebody else. You know, they lost a lot of business. And I'm going to recommend to everyone that I know, don't go with Zone Alarm anymore. One of the listeners to the program talked about his problem with Verizon. And I'm going to have to open the email up here and read this to you. Okay, Mike Biddle, a technology teacher at a school in Ohio, wrote to me and said he's been trying to stay in front of the curve to teach his students cutting-edge, you know, technology things. And he's been listening to podcasts, and he wrote in here that he appreciates what we're doing with rallying the troops against bad customer service. He says, it's amazing how abusive many companies can be just to get you to shut up and keep spending your money on their services. I've been going through hell with Verizon over their Corsia Palm Pilot phone that I eventually had to switch to their Samsung i700, and after three of those in a row didn't work, and they broke just about every agreement they had made with me, I'm stuck just trying to be happy about a cell phone that works good enough. And he puts on here the record button doesn't work, because I don't want to go through more hours of customer service runarounds and flubbed up cell bills. Anyhow, just thought I would share that one since Verizon has pushed me a little over the edge. You know, Mike, I was going through a similar situation with T-Mobile last June, and my saga was I bought a new T-Mobile phone, and I bought it outside of the state of Hawaii. I was in Texas at the time, and they put in a new SIM chip, and because I'm a Hawaii customer, T-Mobile does all their rollout testing in Hawaii. So Hawaii use customers, anyone with an 808 area code, have a special SIM card in them. So, in effect, this lady put a mainland SIM card in my phone, and I was able to call out just fine, but after about a day, no one was able to call into me. And to make a long story short, it went about 5 days of pure agonizing hell, calling and threatening and getting mean, and it was ugly. It was terrible. And I almost, at that point, said, all right, fine. I will pay the $150 fine to shut the service down just to go to someone else. It was almost worth it. They finally got their act together and got it straightened around and gave me some free service and tried to make amends. But these cell phone companies, they don't care about us no more. They really don't. They got so many customers that it just doesn't matter. So, you know, here's a gentleman that has had problems with Verizon. So if any of you guys out there have connections with Verizon, why don't you send me an email and I will get you hooked up with him. And maybe you guys can fix this guy's issue that he's having. Because it's time to stand up and not take it anymore. So if anybody else out there has some issues with a customer service problem or dealing with a company, you need to send me an email. We're going to call them out. Now, here's one for right. Isn't Verizon in the middle of another lawsuit right now because of another service issue with some of their phones? I think we talked about that last podcast or the one before. You know, so many articles ago. Heck, I've almost forgotten about it already. But we need to keep hammering it away that consumers have rights and the consumer is always right, no matter what. Okay, back to the news. On Robert Scoble's weblog today, he has an article about something that's supposedly a Skype killer. And he's impressed by a service called Telo, T-E-L-E-O. And he says it's a potential Skype killer. And why? It adds a toolbar into Internet Explorer and Outlook. It turns every phone number into a clickable call. If you are using it, for instance, you could call my cell phone by clicking. Yes, you can call from your computer directly to my cell phone. I think that's pretty cool, but I can do that with Skype. I can call directly from my Skype account to someone's cell phone, so what's the difference there? I think the difference is that it works through firewalls, and it's SIP-based. So that's interesting. I don't know. I'll check it out and see what it is. And if anyone else is using this Telo service, let us know. I think we just had some more skipping by the computer. I'm going to have to unload some applications because it's obviously not keeping up. But, you know, it's voice IP for your phone and for your voice IP for your cell phone and laptop. Now, I know Skype has just inked a deal with Motorola, so that they can have basically Skype loaded on the telephone itself, so you can make voice IP calls with your phone via your regular data service that you have on your telephone. So we'll see what Telo's going to do here. And I don't know if it's something that you can download and put on any cell phone. But maybe. I'll have to check it out and let you guys know what I think. Hey, if you haven't listened to the Keener 13 blog or Keener 13 podcast, you need to check it out. This guy has a great show. And any of you that are from the Midwest will be familiar with WKNR. And he talks about all things that are related to Keener 13. He's got a great weblog. He gave us an exclusive interview here about a month ago. And every time I listen to his podcast, I just get intrigued more and more. Great audio, great clips, great interviews, and great production value. He's done a good job on that. So check out the Keener blog at Keener13.com, and that's with two E's. I think we all should appreciate what we have. Those of us that live in the United States and other countries that don't have policies like China does, you know, China says it shut down 12,575 internet cafes from October to December last year. And what they were doing, this is what, quote-unquote, their purpose was. The purpose of the crackdown was to create a safer environment for young people in China. No, it's not about safer environment. It's about repression, not empowering them, making them, make sure that they don't have access to news and information. It's just disgusting. You know, thank God that we live in a country that we do, or I do. I know some of you don't live within the United States, but I know most of you that listen to this podcast live in countries that don't have these types of communist regimes in charge that would do, basically crack down on basically restrict information from the public. Just makes you mad when you read that every time. Makes you appreciate where home is, that is for sure. Okay, these sites that were that Apple went after with lawsuits, they're fighting back, and the attorneys from the Electronic Frontier Foundation have filed briefs to get those lawsuits thrown out based upon First Amendment rights. And those of you that haven't taken a look at our Bill of Rights and what as that we're allowed to our freedoms that we have here. Maybe it's a good time to go through those sometime and take a look and realize what we are allowed to do in this country. And, when people or when companies like Apple go after other companies or go after other people for talking about things that they've heard, they wouldn't necessarily went after another news organization. If the New York Times had posted on their website that Apple was going to release the Mini, they wouldn't have sued them, but they went after these small sites, these college student guys, just because someone was willing to give them a little information. So, where will it end? I don't think it will. Now, I've talked numerous times on the podcast about hard drive death. And there's nothing worse than sitting in front of your computer and it just quitting, meaning the hard drive just quit. Usually there's telltale signs, it's making noise, but I've had a hard drive or two that have just let the smoke out of themselves and quit spinning just on a whim. Nothing's particularly happening. They're just sitting there and they've decided it's time to go to the big hard drive place in the sky, I guess, So I've got a great article to link you to if those of you are not providing yourself a little bit of safety margin and backing up your material on a regular basis, you should read this article. It might make it open your eyes and get a little scared. And I'll just think about right now, if right now your hard drive quit, what would you do? Would you have backups available? Would your life be over as you know it? Would you lose weeks worth of work? I know I'm not going to. But I've got a plan, so those of you that don't have a plan, get a plan. Now, since Google's released their Google Maps, There's been some people rushing to do some integration with it. So an Australian developer has created a GPS plugin for the recently released Google Maps service. And although the tool currently requires Windows XP or 2000, and you have to have a laptop hooked up to your GPS, basically it's a moving map thing. So it's pretty cool. So check that out. It's by Engadget, and Engadget's got the article. Now, Engadget did a real good interview with the CEO and founder of Kaleidoscape. Those of you that aren't familiar with Kaleidoscape, what they have is they have a product that's basically a DVD jukebox. They were sued by, I believe it was the MPAA that sued them. And what happened was is they had gotten a license to put archive DVDs, and they actually thought they were within the letter of the law and had done everything they were supposed to do and had put in DRM. And these units aren't cheap. These are for the rich and famous. I think they cost like $23,000. So they're not an inexpensive toy, but they've got a great article up, and it just goes to show you how much restriction the MPAA and company, organizations like that are trying to impose on regular people still. Okay, what else do I have here? Okay, Vonnie just got a complaint that some local telephone companies are blocking their calls. So basically, if you're a Vonage user and you're trying to call somebody in a rural area or an area that is serviced by a relatively unknown non-major telecommunications provider, you might be surprised that your phone calls don't get through. And if they don't, Vonage wants to hear from you. They're going after them, and they have complained to the FCC, and the FCC is going to be aggressively going after this to find out what exactly is going on. But, some of these small telcos are threatened, They have not invested in technology. They haven't kept up with the times, and they're going to be left in the dust, and they've decided to do childish things like blocking incoming calls from Vonage. So I'm sure there's going to be more to hear on that. Now, it doesn't say anything about any of the major carriers doing it, and I wouldn't expect them to, but it's from the small, rural, local exchange carriers. And I'm sorry. It's late, folks, and I'm not completely up on my A game, and I shouldn't do podcasts this late, but let's finish up here, and I'll wrap up with some good music for you. All right. Email and blog monitors are launched. All right. Companies are becoming more concerned. We all heard about the gentleman from Google that was fired because he was complaining about his compensation package that he didn't like, even though he was already working for the company. He signed an employment agreement, agreeing to that compensation package. If a company's not going to pay you enough, why take the job unless you're desperate? But companies are, like Google, are being concerned about what their employees are saying on weblogs, what they're saying in email. So there's some more monitoring software, actually hardware, coming out that companies can buy to monitor what you're saying via email or on your weblog. So those of you that are in companies that are anal retentive about weblog posts, beware that these kind of tools are coming, and they're going to, your employer is going to be watching what you say. All right, I think I'm done. I think I've got everything wrapped up. I hope everyone enjoyed the show tonight. Like always, I want you to send comments to the voicemail line. And I do want to play one of the comments from the voicemail line from earlier this week. It was based upon a comment I asked for people to call us and let us know what they thought about the audio levels. I know that we got a lot of positive results, positive feedback. I want to thank Rick for calling in and making the comment that he did, and I understand the issue. I'm going to play the voicemail message, then I'll comment on it. See, I hope you guys can hear this. This is the first time I've played a Skype voicemail.
Hey, Todd, Rick Patterson. I'm the guy from Kent, Ohio, that sent you the voicemail thing for Skype. Hey, listened to the last couple of your podcasts. You're doing great, man. I enjoy it. I wish I was there in Honolulu with you. One thing I might mention, and I mean this to be only the most constructive, the only thing I noticed in the production of that is the audio levels are extremely uneven. The special effects are absolutely ear-shattering, and then your voice drops down and it goes back and forth, and I got to constantly screw around with the volume control. Just thought I'd mention it, but that's not to take away from an otherwise enjoyable experience on the listening end. Take care, man. Keep it up. Bye.
All right, Rick. Thanks for the comments, and that is part of the reason why I have decided to invest in some more hardware. It may not solve everything completely because it's real difficult, especially when I'm playing different audio clips and I'm using two or three different applications to get that balance right. You know, I look over here on the meter right now and my voice is peaking out at about negative 6 dB or trying to keep it between like negative 16 and negative 6 dB. We don't want to get up there around the negative 1 or 0 dB range because that is causing distortion for you guys when you turn the volume up when you need to. So, I played with it tonight a little bit. I think we found a happy medium. Even on your call that I just played there, Rick, I had to raise the level a little bit because I noticed that the recording was not going down on track real good. It was about negative 20, and that needed to be a little higher. So I'm sure some of you had to make adjustments. But this is the kind of feedback we want, folks. We want to know what you're experiencing out there. And I also want to thank the guys that gave me the heads up. There was some corruption in the OGG extension released the last podcast. I was able to replace that within about 12 hours. So if some of you got a bad download, we apologize about it. And I will be checking those tonight before we upload them. But again, make sure you check out the podcast show notes at www.geeknewscentral.com. Drop an email to me at geek@geeknewscentral.com or call the voicemail line at 619-342-7365 or call me on Skype and you can leave a voicemail on there when I'm not around or talk to me direct. And my Skype call sign is Geek News Central, all one word. I do have two or three accounts on Skype, so you'll notice one of them will say Geek News Central Mac, one will say Geek News Central 2, but the primary one to call me on is Geek News Central, and the reason that is I've got a couple of computers here, and I do a lot of cross-checking and testing to and part of some of the research I've been doing recently, and that has turned out and has worked pretty good, but I know some of you have been adding me to all three accounts, and hopefully you can catch me on one of them. But the primary one's the Geek News Central one. We are 43 minutes into the podcast, and as always, we never edit the shows. We go ahead, and I immediately start compressing when I'm done. So hopefully you've enjoyed tonight's podcast. I'm going to leave you with a little GarageBand.com music. I haven't picked a track yet, so we'll get that queued up. You know, Paul, I almost blew it, man. I promised Paul that I would play his band's music tonight. And tonight I wanted to introduce One Egg Ticket. It's a rock band with a style that they call thick. From the humble beginnings in the early 90s, two guys, Vlad and a Nameless, bring you the stylings of alternate rock with a general generic sound. So check this song out. Let us know what you think. I'll provide the link up on the show notes. And here they are on One Egg Ticket.
It's been a long time coming, the recent sermon to happen. I couldn't see the forest for the trees, the pictures are misshapen. I let it go for far too long, these feelings deep down inside. I can see the new horizon, something that you would shine. Sit back and watch it grow, a mushroom cloud that brings you to your knees. Look out when I start glowing, I'll cure your disease. Is the demon watch me with her? Have you had enough? Did I change? all that rough. So it's over and I don't care much. I couldn't take another minute more of this. I hear you say you're missing my touch. Well, they say that ignorance is bliss. Look out!
That was One Egg Ticket, and check them out at oneeggticket.com, and I'll put the link up because they spell it. It isn't all one word, folks, so don't type it in straight. Anyway, that's it. We'll see you on Friday. That's all for the Geek News Central podcast. See you later, folks.